Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Shall we pray? God, it is good. It is so good. You have been faithful. And in the midst of it all, on this day, it is good, and we rejoice that we come into your house. Through your word and through your Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts, is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. All my life, at least all that I can remember, as a child, as a teen, and even as an adult, the anticipation that I feel the day or days before I go somewhere or go do something special is just overwhelming. I should have outgrown it. But there is this sense of excitement that still just overwhelms me the day or the night before a vacation or even a simple trip to Waco to a Baylor event. I just can't hardly contain the anticipation and excitement. My father was self-employed, and thus he worked 5 or 6 days a week. We didn't go on many family vacations. But as a kid getting ready for camp, that Sunday night before youth camp, I wouldn't sleep a bit. Or the night before going to Six Flags, there was nothing I could do to contain my excitement, just thinking and dwelling. And often the anticipation, you know, was better than the event. To this day, I toss and turn and toss and turn the night before going somewhere, and many times we just get up and go. I just can't contain the joy of the moment that I know is coming. Now that is what's happening in Psalm 122. In the Psalms, they follow, you know, we know Psalms of thanksgiving and Psalms of lament and Psalms of praise. This would be Psalm 122, a Psalm of pilgrimage. It falls in the collection of a Psalm of Zion, or my favorite, a Psalm of ascent. Picture these pilgrims, Hebrew pilgrims on this festival caravan, making their way to Jerusalem. During this pandemic, I've been reading, just finished, The Grapes of Wrath. Not the best book to choose if you want to be encouraged and filled with much joy. But every couple of years, I read that book, and then I read To Kill a Mockingbird. Read it many, many times. But so I'm picturing The Grapes of Wrath, but it's going to end better. It's going to be good. All these folks coming together, they're not going to California. They're going to Zion. They're on this to Jerusalem, to the city of God. Jerusalem, the place where God dwelt. Now the Hebrews knew that God was all places. They knew that God lived in them, and the presence and person of God was always leading and not contained in a building, but something about Zion. Something about this journey to the temple, for God's presence was known in a special way. God's presence was felt and experienced in Jerusalem in that temple. Now, it could have been, it was one of the festivals. In Exodus 23, we read of the festivals that the Hebrews were to acknowledge, the festival or feast of unleavened bread, the harvest festival, the first fruits, and the festival of ingathering. Later in Deuteronomy 16, they were told that they would have this grand festival of Passover, and they would to be in Jerusalem at Passover. Maybe that was it. Psalm 122 is a psalm of remembrance. The psalmist says, oh, yes, I remember. I remember I was so glad when they said, let's go. Oh, I remember the joy I had when they said, we're going up to Zion. But Psalm 122 moves from the memory of that experience to the moment of what they actually experienced. Verse 2, our feet were standing at the gates. They're not just remembering, now they're there. And oh, the joy they had. Oh, the joy that they were in Jerusalem. There was a sense of unity. They were pulled together, tribes closely compacted. And the reason they went to worship. These pilgrims, these followers of Yahweh, they were going to church. They were going to church. The Psalms are filled with words that remind us of how they felt. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet Him? Bring me to that holy mountain, Psalm 43, to the place where you dwell. I will go to the altar to God, my joy and my delight. How about Psalm 84? How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns. It even faints to be in the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near the altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. There they praise you. And then the psalmist says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days somewhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 somewhere else. Oh, they worshiped. They were at church. This past week, a week in our world known as chaos and known for hurt and crisis and anger and fear, I have found myself so many times knowing that this day, June 7th, was coming and I needed it more than ever. The opportunity to be together in worship. The opportunity to celebrate our unity of faith, our oneness as the people of God. Oh, the joy! I longed for this worship. You know, Psalm 122, there's something I don't want us to miss. Let us, verse 1, let us go to the house of God. Verse 2, our feet are standing at the gates. Verse 3, we were compacted together. Verse 4, as a tribe, not one, but as a tribe, we all go up. Verse 6, all those who love you gather to pray for the sake of friends and for the sake of family. Verse 8, we all. See, this is not a psalm about me. It's not a psalm about I, about number one, oh me, oh my. It's a psalm about us. It's a psalm of community gathering for worship. 13 weeks, 84 days, 13 weeks, 84 days, 2,016 hours since we were here. The band and the tech team said we seem like we've been here 2,000 hours making this happen every week. 13 weeks. Now, we've learned a lot. Oh, we've learned so much about us and about the church, haven't we? We've learned that the church can't be canceled. You can't close the church. The presence of God, the church, eternal, universal, was alive and well. Maybe better than she's been in a long time. in these 13 weeks. Worship happened in your home, in front of that iPhone, some weeks better than others, in front of your computer, on your television. We have worshiped together. And those watching right now, you're worshiping with us. Thanks be to God for live stream that I never even heard of. I've heard of it, but we weren't going to do it. And now, aren't we glad? We've worshiped. Did you ever think you would experience a holy week at home? Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, drinking coffee in your pajamas. I know some of you sent me pictures. You changed clothes that one day. Worship, Easter. And yet it was special. I had never shared communion in an empty room. The Lord's Supper, to think a cracker and a Dr. Pepper in remembrance of Christ. I received numerous emails that said, Pastor, never before have I received communion that meant more to me than just with my spouse and I. One said, no one was there, senior adult, by myself and my iPad, but I had communion with God. As a church, you've heard devotions led by Katie and Dan and Walker and John. Some of you never even heard it. You didn't know they could read. You had never heard them lead a devotion, and you have said, wow, how they spoke to me. Preschool ministry and children's ministry and youth ministry. Though the church doors were closed, it kept happening. In Zoom Bible study, one of our adult class has been doing Zoom Bible study. It was great. By the time everyone figured out who to get on and how to make the audio work and who's listening and who's not muting, it was lesson was about over. But it was great, Zoom. And if I never Zoom again, I'll be happy, happy, happy. Zoom meetings last as long as real meetings. But aren't we glad? But in the midst of it, the kids said it. What do you most miss? I miss my friends. I miss my friends. We miss the fellowship of believers, that we are a community of faith, that we need each other, that the ecclesia, the called out, gathered church, we need. It's who we are. Yes, we can worship God, and we need to worship God, but we need each other. Rick Warren, who wrote that book that changed many a person, The Purpose-Driven Life, who was all about growing as an individual before God, Rick Warren said, and I quote, "But we were never meant to live life in a vacuum. In fact, you cannot fulfill your life's purposes by yourself. You need other people's help, and they need yours. We're better together." Yes, I need that personal relationship with God. I need to learn to love God with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I need that, but I can't love others as I should unless we're together. Together. Oh, folks have said, well, this is the new normal. We better get used to it. No, it's not the new normal. I refuse to accept that. We need to hug. We need to touch. Yes, we'll do what we need till we get beyond this pandemic. But I long for the day when the church can be the church. We can be the body of Christ. We can be brothers and sisters who, yes, maybe not a holy kiss, but we can sure give a good hug and a good handshake, and children can gather. We need that sense of community. I was glad when I could say to you, come to church. I was glad when I said, let's come to the house of the Lord, and I'm glad you came. We didn't know if anyone would actually show up or not. We had 83 at the first worship service, and now you're here. I am glad. May we never, ever again take for granted the church gathered together. May we never again take lightly our commitment to be a part of the body of Christ. Not a perfect church, anything but a perfect church, but the bride of Christ, the called out, gathered family. Go on vacation and enjoy. When you're ill, stay home. But when not, gather with the saints of God. You know, I look across and I know that we all come at different places. Our theology is at different places. We interpret Scripture differently. We definitely do politics differently. We even like different worship styles, but we are called to be as these with joy and unity to worship together. I found a book this week on my shelf. I don't think I'd ever read it. I don't know where it came from. It cost $7.50, so it's an old book. It's entitled Psalms Now, and it's a contemporary translation of 150 Psalms. Written in 1973. Vietnam War. Dividing and splitting and hurting and killing. The war was beginning to... Well, POWs were beginning to come home or beginning to end the war. Roe v. Wade was before the Supreme Court in 73. In 1973 is when Watergate and Nixon, all of that was beginning to transpire, and by the fall, it would fall apart and the vice president would resign. 1973, I didn't watch it, but I bet some of you did. In Houston at the Astrodome, Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, 32,000 people watched the tennis tournament, the Battle of the Sexes. 73, the world was maybe a lot like our world today. So I read this psalm. How good it is to enter the sanctuary of the Lord. I know that God is not confined within man's four wall creations, nor is God attached to altars and brass cymbals, and yet, in the beauty and quietness of God's house, I find His presence very real and fulfilling. God is with me and about me, even as I make my way through the concrete, steel jungles of the cold and unfriendly city. He is present even behind the anonymous faces of the rushing crowds, elbowing their way to their expected destinations. I find God in the hearts and lives of His children who infiltrate the urban masses and who are running His errands and fulfilling His purposes in the course of their daily duties. I cannot outrun or evade my God. He goes before me and follows closely behind me. He will keep me and sustain me wherever I am. Listen. And yet, I rejoice as I enter His sanctuary. And I mingle with those who honor His name, with those who seek His grace. There, shielded from the screaming tensions, in the ear-splitting sounds of the city, in the company of those who love one another, I happily open my heart to the loving mercy of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Shall we pray? Oh God, these weeks, days, and hours have been long. How grateful we are that even in our homes, as some today, they're still apart and we've been able to worship. We've even been able to have Bible study and to have meetings through Zoom. Missions and ministry have continued. Prayers have been offered, heartfelt prayers. And yet, God, we knew that we were missing each other. We needed family. We needed church family. We needed to be the body of Christ gathered together. The koinonia, the ecclesia, the church fellowship. Oh God, may we never take it for granted. We need you. Oh, we need you, and we need each other. You created us for relationship. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this day that we've been together. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.